My name is Dimitri Kreiner. I work with computers and arts and activist projects.
My name is Chuwe Ben, and normally I come from Cameroon.
Whatever the government is doing, it's not doing anything fast, especially not for the better.
Sometimes we feel very abandoned.
The refugees themselves have some widely different stories, but almost all of them say that there is definitely a racism attitude.
We were never given any opportunity by the government to learn anything.
Every year, Germany lets in thousands of refugees from around the world. Children and families who fled their countries due to civil wars and other injustice, and individuals who seek political asylum in quest for a better life. In the next 30 minutes, you will hear interviews with Dimitri Kreiner, a Canadian who works with refugees in Berlin, Germany, as well as an interview with Chuwe Ben, a refugee and activist from Cameroon, who was forced to leave his native country and seek political asylum in Germany. You will hear about the Refugee Emancipation Project that was started by Mr. Eben and other refugees. We will also examine the way refugees are treated by the public and the government, and talk about a new law that was recently put in place by the German government and the way it affects refugees.
My name is Dimitri Kreiner. I work with computers and arts and activist projects, the Refugees Emancipation Project, which is a project here in Berlin, Germany, that's initiated by refugees, mostly from Cameroon, but from all sorts of places, but predominantly Africa. And the situation is that the refugees here in Germany have to live in these homes called Heims, which just means home in German, but we call them Heims anyway, even though we speak English. And they're not really allowed to leave the municipal area that the Heims are in. They're not allowed to work. And so they, and the Heims are typically in very isolated areas, so it's even difficult to get there with public transportation. So the Refugees Emancipation Project, which is a group of refugees themselves, decided to put an internet cafe into a Heim and then organize lessons and other things from the cafe to combat the isolation of the refugees. I teach them how to use what's called a wiki. It's a simple little web editing tool where you can, you know, edit articles and put up pictures and stuff. And I show them how to use this to publish information about themselves and their interests on the internet. And I also have conducted, you know, classes on general computer usage and things like that. But it's basically the idea is to teach them how to use the internet as a communication tool to communicate, you know, with people back home, where they're from in Africa, to the German public at large for the purposes of advocacy and such, to the government, to each other, and to, you know, other people, because their options to get their ideas out and their situation out is are not very wide. So this helps them do that. The refugees themselves are here in Germany for, you know, all sorts of reasons. The ones I work with, a large section of them were supporters of the South Cameroonian independence in Cameroon, because there's a dispute between North and South Cameroon, where people in the south part, which is the most English part, feel that they're kind of like a colony of a colony in their own country, and they have issues with the government, and they want to separate, and the government has been very violently repressing these activists, so a lot of them have ended up dead, missing, or in refugee homes in other countries. But that's not the only story. I mean, I'm not by any means an expert on all the different reasons the refugees have chosen to come here to Berlin.
The law states that refugees are not allowed to work. However, this creates a backdoor that many refugees are forced to take because they want to work. And if they cannot do it legally, they will do it illegally.
And in fact, many of them do work, but they're not allowed to work. So when they do work, of course, they're working illegally. Schwarzarbeit is what is known as here, which just means black work, which is kind of ironic when they are, you know, actually black, doing black work. So it sounds really like it's, you know, made especially for them. But a lot of the hotels and restaurants here employ illegal labor, Schwarzarbeiters, who of course work for incredibly low wages and have no benefits of any kind. And if they get caught, of course, since their question here is illegal, they can, you know, face imprisonment and immediate deportation and other such things.
Since refugees who work do not pay tax, the government is losing money. However, They are also doing the work nobody else wants to.
Yeah, the government is losing money, I suppose, if you look narrowly just at the tax, but the reality of it is that it's kind of a big boost for sectors of the economy that depend on cheap labor, right? So, you know, they kind of depend on it at the same time. It's not, I mean, overall, I completely agree that Schwarzarbeit is economically corrosive, and we'd be much better to really emancipate them. And I personally believe that everybody should have the same rights as everybody, no matter where they are. But I think that the government is typically short-sighted and is more influenced by the powerful members of the sectors of the economy that benefit from Schwarzarbeit than they are worried about some loss in tax revenue. Aus dem Tal, der Teil deine Pflege. 20.000 Mal, gib mir den Morgen danach. Weck mich auf, wenn ich schreie. Mach uns groß wie ein Held. 20.000 Meilen über dem Meer. My name is Chuwe Ben, and normally I come from Cameroon. I asked for political asylum here in 1998, and I was sent into a small town far away, where almost isolated, and I've been there for the past 6 years. And what has been so difficult is that it has almost been impossible for you to do anything. You, by the law, you are not allowed to work or to go to school or to move out of a certain district. On the other side of it, it's not also very easy with the civil society. Because of this frustration, some of us, we decided to, we're already some kind of activist back home, and we decided to form little bits of groups to see how we can reivindicate a little bit these very poor conditions. And so we got engaged with other left-wing supporting groups, and we started by trying to challenge the law and to ask the local authorities and the federal authorities to change the situation, which most of the time was not very easy for us because we got a lot of confrontations, sometimes personally, sometimes all of us as refugees. But we also approached the situation trying to see how we, as the victims, could change our situation, which was trying to empower ourselves with the knowledge which we had from our countries and which we could gain from here. So I also tried to create an organization which is called Refugees Emancipation, and the idea is to work with some supporters within the civil society on this idea of empowering refugees by passing on knowledge to them, also by trying to create alternative ways to fight the law. For example, we said if we are not allowed to go to school, we could install internet in the homes and see that people can get education through corresponding courses or by e-learning and things like that. And we could arrange with the local community, some of the people who support us, if we are being given food vouchers, they could exchange it with cash and give us money directly. So we engaged in different various ways to fight the law from the point of trying to empower the refugees. So I am very much involved in this direction, even though in the first 2-3 years I was more on trying to fight in terms of political propaganda, that is fighting the law. We're making campaigns and going from town to town in seminars and sometimes in the universities to explain to the people what is the situation of the refugees. So I am very much involved and engaged in this fight for the past 6 years. And as I said before, I am a political asylum seeker here in Germany for the past 6 years, and it has been a very rough ride.
A new law has been recently put in place by the German government that puts an emphasis on the knowledge of the German language, also giving refugees the opportunity to educate themselves.
The context of the new law is so complicated that even to understand it within my own context as a refugee, it's not yet clear. And so we are still like trying to understand this new law. But what I know is that language is one of the main conditions which has been put into trying to integrate people into the German civil society. Now, I know that within the new law, refugees will be given the opportunity to learn languages, the German language. If you are married to a German, you have to pass a certain kind of a German test for you to obtain your permanent stay. So I think language has been put in the forefront as a precondition for any sort of integration in the new law, but I can't really tell you much about this aspect of Germans who have lived out and who have to come back. But I can only tell you that I think in almost all of the different forms in which you have to get integrated into Germany, you have to, within the new law, have a certain kind of a test, or you have to have a certain level of understanding of the German language.
However, a contradiction occurs, a fundamental flaw within the law itself, because in order to pass it, one has to be able to speak the German language. But the question that arises is whether or not refugees have been given the opportunity by the government to educate themselves.
We were never given any opportunity by the government to learn anything, to learn the German language. And if they say now a precondition for you to be integrated in the civil society or within the society is that you have to pass a certain exam, not only talk, knowing the language, but you have to pass a test, I think it's going to be very, very difficult. I already see a lot of people who have a lot of difficulties. What I can tell you is that there is always this idea of trying to say people, they want people to be integrated. But on the other hand, if you look at it, it's systematically means or ways to keep people off also from staying here as permanent as possible. So you will find out that after 5 years, within the new law, for example, they say if you get married to a German, after 5 years you have to do this test. If you are unable to pass this test, you will have temporary visas until you pass it. So in another sense, it's like people will keep on, there are other conditions which are terrible sometimes, you know, like paying taxes to the government for 5 years and things like that before. So I think it's going to make things more difficult.
Racism is another issue refugees are faced day after day, which is created by a lack of information provided by the mainstream media.
The refugees themselves have some widely different stories, but almost all of them say that there is definitely a racism attitude towards that. I mean, I live, you know, in downtown Berlin, and a lot of the people I know are artists and activists and, you know, regular urbanites, and so I don't see anything around me except for the same kind of systemic racism you find even in North America, but no, like, overt racism, but it exists, yeah, especially in the more outlying areas.
What I have found out is that the government does its best. I mean, like in any other country, when you read, the government receives people, tries to lodge them, tries to give them certain facilities, but the civil society has to also do its part, which is to try to make life good, or not, I don't say excellent, but try to make look like life to these people who are come from different parts of the world in a very difficult situation. What is difficult in Germany is that the civil society is not very receptive, and I think this is a problem. So it's like you have a very difficult situation with the laws, and on the other hand, you have a very difficult civil society. Now, after saying this, what I can say is when you go down to the streets as an activist, we find out that many people say they don't know that this is how the situation is. I mean, if you talk to them, you say, I never knew this, that people have to buy with coupons, so people have this restriction law not to go out of their district for years over years. I mean, or you have not allowed to go to school, or you are not allowed to work, and so forth. So when you imagine that this is a developed world with all the media and information system, so you ask the question, is it really true? Many people will tell you they don't really know that this is the situation. So I think you might say it's out of ignorance, or so people do not really understand what is going on, or they just don't care. The truth about it is that there is a complete lukewarmness from the civil society and a very difficult law. And so the refugees in Germany really has a very, very, very difficult condition. But what is very sad here is that you are kept like this for years over years, and on the basis that your case is being looked upon. And so it becomes very destructive to the refugee, because you can take a young man of 25 years and lock him up in a home, in a place, and then allow him to go out, not to work, not to go to school, not to do anything. And the only way out is negative thinking and living in a society where he sees things that he knows he can grow, but he cannot touch them because the law prevents him, and inclusive society is not open to him. So what he does is to look for some negative things. I mean, those who go to the extreme. But most of the time, it really pushes people into terrible situations. I mean, you can make statistics in the Himes, where Himes are the places where refugees see the trauma that families and people undergo. So it's not a very good situation. As I said, the government has its own body. The government receives people, tries to give them food and takes care of them. But on the other side, the people, the emancipation of the people is completely neglected. And so the inside of the people is killed in the long run.
The general explanation for putting the new law in place is to make it easier for refugees to be integrated into the German society. However, reality is that it is alienating them even more.
From the perspective of refugees, what I hear, because they just try to explain that it's a general foreigner's law, and so refugees are included in it. Generally, Germany is opening up to welcome migrants. But on the other hand, when you look at the conditions in which refugees are placed now, they are going to be deported. They are completely closing on asylum, which is those who have been here. I mean, we all know now that the situation is going to be very difficult. They are trying, for example, what they have done is they closed many people who were under the asylum process and put them under the Duldung process. The Duldung process is you are under deportation, which gives them right to deport you at any time. So you have thousands and thousands of people now that, because of the coming of the new law, they remove them from under the asylum process into the Duldung process, which means they can just charter the flights now and deport them. So on the other hand, they are saying that the migration law, the new law, is to open up, receive migrants. But on the other side, they are deporting, or they are classifying refugees into unuseful people, which have to be sent back. And this is not true that these people contribute a lot. I mean, we all know, whether legally or illegally, we all know how these people contribute in this country. And now what they are trying to do is to deport people. So it's very contradictory to say, well, this law opens up, and at the same time, deporting people in other countries like in Spain, and I don't know, and in England, they try to make some kind of amnesty even on illegal people to find a way that they can be integrated. But refugees or asylum seekers in Germany are not illegal, but they don't have the chance to be integrated. So what has happened with the refugees is that the new law is going to be worse. Just to add to that, there is also the idea to build these camps, these new kinds of camps, where all these refugees or asylum seekers who have problems of what you call identification problems, because that's where they have pushed most of the refugees, they will be kept in this camp, and there they will be forced to identify themselves, and then they will be deported to their various countries. And so in this camp, they will not even be allowed to go out of the small towns that they're here. They will be given their food and kept there under police control so they can see where they come from. And this is how most of the refugees now in Germany find themselves under this kind of conditions. So there's going to be more deportation, and I don't see how the sense of saying that this law is about integrating people, except that the government has clearly made its choice, which is to select people and say some are useful and these other ones are unuseful.
There have been already many demonstrations regarding the new law and also regarding deportations.
In Berlin, Brandenburg, there was a protest in last week because there is already the rumor that about 10,000 refugees will be deported. And there is already a lot of protests against airlines, chartered airlines, that have already done some deportations. I think it's going to be more protests which will be organized.
This new law gives the German government the supreme power to decide about people's lives. It gives them the power to send people back to their native countries whenever they want, regardless of their refugee status in Germany and the political situation in their home country.
I think if you read, if you go through the website of the Foreign Office, they have a certain clause which they say the embassies should cooperate with the state in terms of identification of individuals. Now, we've heard and we've seen situations where people have been sent to other countries that do not belong to them, that they are not from, because these embassies cooperate. So what I can tell you is, with these, I mean, it's not a secret to anybody that they are going to apply very hard measures to send people back. I mean, you heard about negotiations between the German government, the Senegalese government, and some other governments, Ghanaian governments, and in Africa, to send refugees back. So the idea is not even to identify these people from whatever country they come from. If you are a Cameroonian or a Nigerian asking for political asylum, and they say no, they will just pack you and send you to Ghana. What they are trying, I think they are looking for now, is just to have an agreement with any African country or any other country just to take the people back. So they don't care again from whichever country you come from. I think the aspect of they would not care, they would not care. If they have the chance to send you back, they would do it in any other country. It doesn't matter. They will send you. If they can obtain a traveling certificate from this embassy, they will send you.
Refugees have always been considered and treated as the lowest rank in our society. Families and children whose regular lives were disrupted due to civil wars and other injustice. Doctors, lawyers, carpenters, and teachers. People from all professions who were forced to leave their homes and travel to countries, sometimes on the other side of the world, only to realize that they became prisoners, away from home, lost in a foreign place, forgotten by society, and treated as if they don't matter.
Most of the time, you come into countries without having any true knowledge of exactly what the conditions are. And it is very difficult to find out that you cannot emancipate yourself. You cannot push forward any form of trying to build up yourself in the first world country. So sometimes we feel very abandoned inside Germany because there seem not to be outside cry of what is going on. I mean, we think it's kind of international complicity to say that, well, people have food and people have a warm room and that's it. We think that if the international community knows that there is such laws like resident flesh laws, which stops you from not going out of the district for years over years, and these conditions of putting people in these localities which are mostly abandoned and far in the woods, I mean, then they would put pressure to the German community or German civil society. And we really feel abandoned sometimes, and we would like to grow like any other people to be participative and, within the civil society, and to contribute with our talent. Like in other countries, when we hear refugees in, I know that it's difficult also in Canada or in the US or in Britain, but people have a way out when they are very talented to do something and to contribute within the civil society, especially as we stay here for years over years. I mean, you stay 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, and then suddenly you are repatriated back home. So we think there is a kind of the international community is not looking at the plight of refugees in Germany. So we would like some kind of an open condemnation, which is, I mean, it should not only be done in a very quiet means, but why not people from the civil society, whenever they visit Germany, they should talk about the situation. How are refugees? Why are they kept in these isolated places? People should openly, from outside, welcome when they come here and talk about it. I mean, it's not the only problem in this country, but it's also very important that people who come from very difficult situation are given an opportunity to survive every given society that they find themselves. That is what I can see. And of course, we could have organizations. We could support independent refugee groups. For example, if you go to www.refugeesemancipation.net, and that's the organization we built with some help from with Dimitri, who is also a Canadian here in Berlin. And the idea was to give alternative source of education to refugees. And so this kind of support can come even from outside. It can come from Canada, it can come from US, And we have a lot of support also, can come also within the civil society in Germany. But I think if there is this kind of interest in trying to provide this kind of alternative support, and I think we could put our heads together, there are many ways in which we can basically help refugees to build their talents and to find a way out. So what I'm calling is people should not think that they are very far away and they shouldn't be interested. I think they should be like what you are doing now, trying to get this interview with me. I think it should be a calling that the world is just one, and it's important that people, even across there in Canada, can intervene for the situations of refugees in Germany.
This may have been just one story of one person, but it is the universal story of every refugee in this world. It is the universal isolation that refugees all over the world are experiencing. And it continues to happen day after day. All they want is a place in society, to be useful members and to contribute with their knowledge and talents, to have the right to be creative, and to have the right to dream. But instead, they are being locked up in homes and denied their basic human rights. If you would like to know more about this global issue, visit www.indymedia.de or .org, as well as re.trick.ca and noii.trick.ca. This has been a 30-minute radio documentary about refugees in Germany. My name is Bojan Dulabic, and you are listening to CKUW's The Beat, 95.9 FM. Tracks like I'm homeless, rap orgies with Orgy and Bess, capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool, but I hex you with some witches brew if you do voodoo. I could do what you do.